Tomorrow is the feast of St. Patrick. Everybody knows that. And how many people will celebrate St. Patrick's Day? They'll wear green, maybe have some corned beef and cabbage, a couple of potatoes, maybe have a beer. But they have no clue who St. Patrick was. It is a matter of history that St. Patrick was sent by Pope St. Celestine to Ireland to convert the people of Ireland to the true faith. You know, as we're very fortunate, when I look at the church here, it's not like we had a lot of money when we were building the church, but things very providentially, God was looking out after us, the Virgin Mary was protecting us, and we got these beautiful stained glass windows here from a convent closing down in Alliance, Nebraska. Now, we didn't even have these stained glass windows when we built the church. We already had opened the brick was already there for stained glass windows. We didn't have any stained glass windows. But we were very fortunate to get St. Patrick there. To my left, to your right, second window from the front, St. Patrick's there. But who was St. Patrick? He was a bishop, and he was very zealous for the faith. Who did he have to try to convert? The Irish people who were steeped in paganism and Druidism and superstition. And many of this was very involved with demonic worship as well. St. Patrick was a man of great faith. He was a man of great prayer. He frequently signed himself with the sign of the cross. He beautifully invoked the Holy Trinity, one God in three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And as you see him depicted, whenever you think of Irish, you think of the shamrock. And St. Patrick, he used the shamrock to explain the beautiful doctrine of the Holy Trinity. There's only but one God, but three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. St. Patrick was a man of penance and sacrifice. He combined his prayers with sacrifice. What were some of his sacrifices? In the wintertime, he would go and stand in cold water up to his neck and pray. But St. Patrick was a man of zeal for the conversion of the Irish people. That's exactly what he did. He brought the faith, the true faith, to many, many people. What's interesting about St. Patrick is this. He was zealous for the salvation of souls, to get souls to heaven. And he firmly believed that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That God is revealed through Jesus Christ, the one true religion. Christ worked miracles to prove his divine nature and mission. He fulfilled the prophecies. We've talked about this so often. But why do I mention it today? Well, this is the dividing line between true Catholics, the true Catholic faith, and what has happened in the Catholic Church since Vatican Council II. Many changes were introduced into the Catholic Church that were absolutely contradictory to what the Catholic Church had always taught for some 1900 years. And what's amazing is this. The Catholic Church has always and will always fulfill the Church's mission that Christ gave. Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he said, "Go teach all nations," he told his apostles, "teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Teach them to believe everything I commanded you and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Vatican II comes along, and it should be no surprise to us. We talked about this last Sunday and before. Vatican II comes along and contradicts. And the men who were infiltrating within the church did this purposely. They threw out the window the first commandment of God. "I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me." Vatican II comes along and says, and praises the Hindus, praises the Buddhists, praises the Muslims. I have an article that I have laminated. It was so, I use it so often to show people. This is from our Sunday Visitor. This is a modern Catholic national newspaper. John Paul II is speaking here about other religions, and he says the Catholic Church rejects nothing that is true and holy in these religions. She has a high regard for the manner of life and conduct, precepts and doctrines, which although differing in many ways from her own teaching, nevertheless often reflect a ray of that truth and enlightens all men. That's totally false. How can you find the good in worshiping false gods? He goes on to say, and this is a mind-boggler, that the Holy Spirit has guided the founders of other religions, and they have formulated doctrines and worship and this and that. They don't even worship the true God. And he brags and he boasts about how this was all wonderfully displayed in Assisi when he called all the religions of the world together to pray to their false gods for world peace. Even as we've talked about it so often, they put a statue of Buddha on top of the tabernacle. And he goes on to say, the Holy Spirit is present and active in the religions of the world. That just throws out the window the first commandment. The Catholic Church has never taught this. The Catholic Church has always taught that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through him. And we want to convert everyone to Jesus Christ. Recently, Francis I, among the many crazy things he's taught, he said that all religions are paths to God. Throw out the first commandment. And you know, we mentioned this before, he also said adulterers, those living in adultery, can go to Holy Communion. Throw out the sixth and the ninth commandment. Listen, we've heard these things before. But St. Patrick is a wonderful example of the mission of the Church. How wonderfully he spread the faith to Ireland, like so many other missionaries before. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this. If St. Patrick were following the false teachings of Vatican II, he would have tried to acknowledge, preserve, and promote the good in Druidism. And Ireland would still be in Druidism today. This idea of religious syncretism, it doesn't matter what religion you want to. No. There's only one true religion revealed by God, one religion that has the miracles and the divine proof through Jesus Christ. St. Patrick is a great and powerful saint. Tomorrow we celebrate his feast, and how important it is that we look at what he accomplished. We also have this coming week, we mentioned about a day off on Wednesday, I'm sure the kids are very happy with that, in honor of St. Joseph. St. Joseph was the foster father of Jesus Christ and the spouse of the Blessed Virgin. You know, after the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, St. Joseph was intimately connected with the Son of God. He held him in his arms. He provided and protected and watched over them. Joseph watching over Jesus and Mary. Our Lord was known as the carpenter's son. And how beautifully St. Joseph gives us a wonderful example for fathers and husbands about his faithfulness, his dutifulness. He provided for the Holy Family. He watched over them and protected them and took care of them. St. Joseph's also the patron saint against the fight against communism. And you're like, what about that? Patron saint of workers, what about that? Well, St. Joseph was a humble carpenter, and he worked diligently to provide. And the reason why the Church invokes him in this battle against communism, we pray for St. Joseph to fight against communism, is because communism, by its very nature, exploits the working class, agitates and riles them up to revolt and revolution and anarchy. And when they overthrow a government, then they enslave people by tyranny and complete slavery. How people, unfortunately, have been duped. It happened in Russia, as our Blessed Mother said at Fatima. 1917, she warned about Russia spreading her errors, and what happened? 1917, in October, this communist agitator Lenin and his side assistant Trotsky riled up the people of Russia. Why? Because Russia was in tremendous debt from World War I. The Tsar and his family were killed, they overthrew the government, and they had the working people do this. But once the, you know, government was overthrown, then they exploited everybody. There were mass murdering and actual terrorism, and Russia fell to communism. So it was in China, so it was in North Korea, so it was in Vietnam, so it was in Cuba. Time after time after time, exploiting the working people. And St. Joseph, his humble, diligent work as a carpenter, tells us that as God had commanded Adam, by the sweat of your brow you make your bread. And there's nothing wrong with work and labor. That's how we provide for ourselves and for our families. And St. Joseph, like I say, is the patron saint of workers, patron saint against the fight against communism, patron saint of families as the head of the Holy Family. St. Joseph is invoked in many different ways and in many different titles. And when we recite his litany after Mass, let us think of those titles. But one of the most beautiful titles is that he was so intimately connected with Jesus Christ and the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of God. So we celebrate St. Joseph's Feast on Wednesday. And as we have mentioned so often in the past, the Church holds out the saints for our imitation, for our inspiration. And let us do our very best, you fathers of families, look to St. Joseph to be that provider, protector, and that spiritual guide you need to be. And for all of us, whether we're married, single, even kids, St. Patrick is the example for all of us of being missionaries, spreading the faith by word and example, and by prayer. Now I know, before I mention it again, even little kids can be missionaries. There's a story, I should say, it's a true story, about this little Jewish boy. His name was Israel Zoli. As a little boy, when he went to school, this little Jewish boy, he did not believe, he was told by his rabbi and by his parents that Jesus was not the Messiah. They didn't even say his name. They said, that man that's hanging on the cross, don't look at him, he'll be cursed. And this little Jewish boy, he was told these things. But one day, his fellow students said, hey, let's come over to my house, we'll do our homework together. They did their homework together, and this little Jewish boy, he was so impressed. His fellow student was so kind. This fellow student's mom and dad were such a good example. The mother made some hot milk and some cookies for them. This fellow student's brothers and sisters got along. They were just really, really nice people. So he sits down to do his homework. He looks up on the wall and he sees Jesus on the cross. And he began to think in his little mind, if he was so bad, how could his followers be so good and so nice? And he began to think, I want to know really who he was. He later became the chief rabbi of Rome. And in the 1940s, he converted to the Catholic faith. Chief rabbi of Rome, now Catholic. That was that. The beginning of his conversion was the good example of his fellow student and the family. So even you little children here, don't say, I'm just a little kid. I can't do nothing. Double negative. You can be a good example. Be honest. Be charitable, be kind, be helpful. be a good example. And in that way, you can also help spread the faith. But for all of us, St. Patrick, may he inspire all of us to be spiritual missionaries, to bring all people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.